Opera Show.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Bring me 4 fried chickens and a Coke.
And some...
It's the Mike O'Meara...
Dry white toast, please.
Don't you blaspheme in here! Don't you blaspheme here!
Shave those maracas!
Sometimes a man needs to feel something other than his own touch.
Have you tried switching hands?
How you doing? Am I on? Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show.
I don't know what happened.
Talking spinal surgery and the words of the Pope.
I'm concerned.
877-365-3636. We will be having our big barbecue here at the station if you'd like to come down. It all gets underway tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Right.
Right outside our studios here at WJFK, 10800 Main Street.
I've decided I'm bringing hamburgers.
You're going to bring burgers?
Hamburguesa.
You bring the meat, we bring the heat.
What are you going to bring, Buzz?
I was going to rely on the kindness of strangers.
Naturally.
Isn't that naturally?
And well, Buzz, of course. He's got that long commute. We wouldn't want him to have to bring anything with him.
That's Buzz, right. Is looking for the Buzz Babes also. We have Patricia, who's coming down, and also the guy from Dumfries, Virginia, who is bringing 5 women with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to enhance the whole barbecue atmosphere that we're going to have tomorrow.
Any woman who shows up in attractive, casual beach wear that includes bikini tops, they're all welcome.
It's a lead-in to what we'd like to do down the road, mm-hmm. which is the Buzz Babe.
Right.
Have you thought about that?
Oh, I've thought about it every day and every night.
Have you thought about how we're going to incorporate that into your daily news activity?
I thought we'd make it up as we went along.
How so?
Well, we're going to have to obviously come up with some rules, and we haven't done that yet.
Will you write those rules over the weekend?
I can write them before tomorrow's show.
No, I think, take the weekend.
All right.
What kind of rules? I mean, rules for our conduct, rules
well,
for their
rules,
conduct?
Well, not rules. Not rules, but if, you know, this is Buzz's thing. This is where I and you.
I'm well aware of Buzz's thing.
We have to defer to Mr. Burbank when we're talking about the female participation on the show. That's what we, you know, we had a few meetings about what we were going to do going forward.
Right.
And I think when it comes to anything truly sexual.
Sexual.
I mean, I think that. I'm a sexual being. Rob, we've established with his vasectomy, is somewhat sexual, but
I'm bouncing back.
But when you're talking about the horn doggy of horn doggies on the Mike O'Meara Show,
I can't help myself.
It is one Buzz Burbank. He is not only a newscaster, but he is also the horn man.
Yeah, I agree.
A raconteur.
So I would suggest that sometime over the weekend when you're together with your friends doing what you do in that special time, take pen to paper and come up with something for the Buzz Babes, what you're looking for, how they can assist you, and what their role on the show is going to be. I don't want to just have Buzz Babes for the sake of Buzz Babes.
No, that's not enough?
It's not enough, Buzz.
Okay.
To get them here. I want to incorporate them into the fabric of our brand-new radio program.
What we should do is we should use them to promote the program.
That's right.
That's a fine idea, Rob.
Thank you.
Take them with us when we go out.
Or just send them out.
Send them out in our place.
All right. That could work as well.
See, you know what? Maybe if you had 3 Buzz Babes, each one could pretend to be one of us.
Each one could what?
Pretend to be one of us.
Homo Joe at the console today.
Running board like Homo Joe. Talking like Homo Joe.
So getting back to my back surgery.
Yes, please.
When last we checked in, we got a lot of people calling about back pain, too.
But
when last we checked in, I met with the lovely Scarlett.
Hot.
And Scarlett says to me that she is going to be my bartender.
Wow.
She is going to be my lovely bartender. And what she says is, once again, there's that word twilight.
Mm-hmm.
And I suddenly calm down. I feel really, really good. And I'm sure that's what she does. She's the last person that you see before you go into this surgery.
Which is not bad.
And she says, okay, now we can give you the drugs before, or we can give you the drugs as soon as you get into the OR.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think this is a challenge, kind of my manliness thing. I said, nah, don't worry about it.
Big mistake.
I'll take the drugs when we get into the surgery
Tactical error.
No, it was not. It was fine. And that's when they wheel me in there. And she says something that gave me a little concern. She said, we're going to take you into the very best operating room.
What does that mean?
That's what I thought. I said, the people that had the procedure before, would you work on them in the closet?
Yeah, we just hosed this one down.
I'm very, very uptight. Oh, in the meantime, Rob, you should know that I met my doctor.
Doctor?
The celebrity he most resembled, let me see.
Please.
I would say a cross between Robert, the mailman, and Flip Wilson.
No,
I'm just telling you that, I only saw the guy once.
Really?
I only saw the guy once, and he came by and...
Dr. Marcellus Wallace.
What was cool is that I was looking at some of the other doctors coming in and out. There were three or four of them floating around.
Was his temperament closer to Flip or Robert?
He you know what he was? He was Even Steven. He was a very controlled guy, and he looked, and here's what was important to me.
Yes.
He looked rested.
Well,
that's good.
He looked like the man was ready to go.
That's
and,
important.
You know,
you want that.
He's in the scrubs, and you know, he knew me right away. He said, okay, Mr. O'Mara, we've looked at your chart.
Well, that's good.
Here's what we're going to do. What we're going to do is we're going to go down where your spine is and where the bone is pressing on the nerve and the disc area. We're going to get rid of some of the bone spurs there. Then we're going to take the laser, and we're going to deaden some of the nerve endings on the L5.
Okay.
And if we can, we're going to get in there and get some of that bulging disc removed from where you're experiencing your pain. If we can do that, probably not going to happen because you're so compressed down there. But we should be able to take care
of
it.
And you're not medicated yet, so you're following all this.
He came to me right before Scarlett, so I jumped ahead.
All right.
I see Scarlett. They wheel me in there, and it's your standard operating room.
Do they really wheel you in on like a wheelchair?
You're in kind of a gurney? You can sit up in it.
Oh.
And then they make you lie back.
The Craftmatic adjustable bed.
You know, I'm trying to think whether they put me on something. They kept me in this little Craftmatic chair.
Huh.
And they
sits
wheel
up, it lays back.
Yeah, and it was not a gurney per se.
Right.
But then they get me into the room.
It was vinyl?
And it was vinyl.
Was there any stickage?
I didn't see any.
Well, I meant because, you know, you're basically nude under the gown, aren't you?
Baby.
So, I mean, skin on vinyl is
I was naked with my surgical gown. Uh-huh. They take me into the OR. I'm on the little chair. And then they say, okay, now how do you want to do this? We can lift you and turn you over, which, you know, I'm looking at the people in the surgery center, and I'm saying to these people, you know, I'm not going to make you go through that.
Right.
I'm not going to make you go through that because something might break.
I was going to say.
Somebody might break a needle.
If they had to lift you, would you have just gone totally limp? No assistance whatsoever?
You know how I am with these things. A lot of people are like this in surgical procedures. You want to be kind of tough guy, macho. He said,
no.
Or you can get on all fours and you can crawl onto the surgical table and then we'll prep you for the surgery.
There is no good way to get on a surgical table. I learned that when I had my vasectomy.
Well, I get on the surgical table with all fours, and of course at that moment the gown parts in the key place and my ass is hanging out,
of course,
along with everything else,
of course,
you know. It looks like Casino Royale.
Yeah,
you're
gonna see it anyway.
You know when they're doing that to the guy with the chair?
Yes.
Oh my god, that scene, that's the greatest torture scene I've ever seen in a movie.
Was Scarlett still there?
Scarlett's there the whole time. Scarlett is my lady. Scarlett's very similar to Kate with her demeanor. She's very sweet, she's very nice,
yeah.
And she's making me feel very calm.
Good.
And she's giving me a lot of honeys and a lot of babies, which, you know, for my money,
that's
it doesn't
great.
Matter if you're in a surgical center or you're in a diner, bring
a
it
bar,
on.
Whatever.
The more women call me honey and baby, the better I feel. She said, okay, baby, what we want you to do is get on all fours. And so I do. And then I thump down on my chest.
I had a nickel.
Present.
And they put a pillow in front of me. Uh-huh. And at that moment.
And you bite it.
At that moment, I say to myself, this really is difficult because I'm laying flat out. There's a kind of angle where my chin is on the pillow, and I swear to God, it's not because the anesthesiologist said this to me. I am having just a little difficulty breathing.
Oh, no.
Not because I have the drugs yet, but because I'm sitting there, and the pillow
sort of
is
choking.
Up under my throat. And she says, how you doing, honey? And I said, I'm having a little trouble. I'd like to be able to, like, raise my chest. Oh, yeah, that's no problem at all. We're going to get you another pillow. So they bring the pillow over, and they put it under my chest.
Yes.
And at that moment, it's perfect. I've got my head.
They've seen all this before.
Yeah, they've done this. They've had fat guys in there before.
Of course, fat people have back trouble.
So they put the pillow under my chest. I'm laying straight ahead with my head facing up to all the – and, you know, they got a million people in there.
Sure.
And she says – okay, what we're going to do is we're going to put you in twilight now, and it's going to be just like having a cocktail. And right after that, you know, it works so fast because you're
great,
already hooked up to the IV drip.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I guess I have no idea, no sense of time, no idea of how much time is passing. And at that moment, Scarlett says to me, how we doing now, baby? And I believe that my response to her was something along the lines of,
Exactly.
I want to do you.
Oh, you did not.
No, I didn't, but I felt that way.
Now, did you, when you get the Twilight, is it two different drugs?
I have no idea. As a matter of fact, Rob, I'm going to describe exactly what I was feeling.
Okay.
But as far as procedure, the drugs that they were giving me or anything, I don't know what was going on. I am in that Twilight, and I'm just going, and we're gonna start now. Now you're gonna feel something cold. Oh, before that, it was the shaving. You've gone through this. they do the shaving and
shaving your back.
God damn it! They take the little Bic razor.
It's no fun
because you can just feel the. You know that's what you're experiencing, and they're going to it. They put the little cold stuff on me,
right?
And
like a Betadine solution.
Yeah, I said I think I said something along the lines of. Is this the
most Twilight that I'm going to be in?
Because I'm, you know, even though I'm drugged, I'm still just a little freaked out about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And every 2 minutes, 5 minutes, I don't know how long it was, is, how you doing, sweetheart?
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Are you doing okay, baby?
You remained relatively aware through the whole thing.
Yeah, to the
enough
point.
Enough to groan a reply.
To the point where the surgeon that's working on me said, during the procedure, when I get in there, I'm actually going to work on that area that you're experiencing pain in,
right.
And you will feel the nerve. Mm-hmm. And so they get me shaved, and then they put that ice cold stuff on
the
you.
Betadine,
the Betadine. That's the orange stuff that they
iodine,
put on.
Iodine, only different.
And they begin the procedure. And the only thing, and it, you know, it seems time flies at this point because you're under the influence of all these heavy drugs.
Yeah.
And I'm talking the whole time to Scarlett, and she's like doing fine. The only thing I remembered is I began to sweat like you would not believe.
Really?
I'm sweating.
It's usually cold in there.
But I'm just, I don't know whether it's the strain to the body, whether it's the stress of everything.
Or it's Scarlett.
Hey, at this point, you know, Scarlett could have been anybody. Scarlett could have been a 90-year-old woman. It wouldn't have mattered to me.
God.
The only thing I remembered is they are working on the bone.
Right.
And at that point, when I'm talking like this, going, how about you, Scarlett? Everything's fine with me. And then the doctor says to me, now you're going to probably feel some pressure here because we're starting to work on the area.
Boy, that's
and,
bad
you know,
news
he's
when
doing
they
the,
say that. Yeah. Oh.
Making noises, scary noises.
Well, and I can kind of feel pressure, and I know it's coming down from the bone area.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, every 5 minutes, how you doing, babe?
I'm doing fine.
And it got like that. It actually got into
like
a little
the Pope,
bit.
Pope singing.
It got into that area where I'm just like,
now they probably have to, Buzz, I would guess, they have to keep him semi-aware to know if they've done any real damage.
And
right?
to make sure he's alive, right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, part of me thinks it's that. The other part of me thinks that they actually do that so they can do it in an outpatient surgical center.
Right.
I think if it's general, they might have to send you off to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. They twilighted me for my colonoscopy, but they went way over the edge. I was gone.
Oh, I was so wasted. I mean, I was wasted like you would not believe. At one point, the only thing I remember from the surgical procedure is that he said, okay, Mr. O'Mara, we're down in that area right now. And at that point, he said, can you feel? And I went, but, you know, you're not screaming because you can feel it, but it's not the kind of pain that's driving you crazy. He's being careful,
right?
But you can feel that.
You probably couldn't scream.
It's like right in the back of my thigh. I can feel that nerve. And he's like, is this where you feel the pain? I'm like,
yes, it is. You're on the spot.
Ah.
You're on the spot.
He's just showing,
doing
he's
your best.
Just showing off.
It's all fine with his back.
And he says, okay, we're taking care of things right now. And it seemed like maybe, you know, time flew. I was in there for 1 hour. These are processes that go from 45 minutes to about an hour and a half.
Right.
I was in there for 2 hours.
Wow.
They were working on me for 2 hours. I'm not sure why.
Like the big
cutting
dig.
Through the miles of fat.
It's like the big dig.
Okay. He's doing it. You're hearing pressure. You're hearing a little of this, and they're cutting the bone, and they're getting all this stuff done. And at that point, they say, okay, that's just about it. We're going to sew you up now. How you doing? How you doing, honey? And at this point, You know, it's timing with everything. They're they're giving you the drugs to sort of wear off at the right time.
Exactly.
And they sew me up, and I hear him sewing me up, and he's talking to all the and of course they're high fiving each other.
Sure.
You know,
laughing.
Jesus, what a process that was.
How many stitches for you? Because
not
was
a
laser.
Lot. Like, you know, I wish I could tell you. I seriously don't remember.
Looks like less than a dozen.
Yeah, definitely less than a dozen.
Okay.
And I'm propped up on the little pillow, and they finish and say, "Okay, honey, baby, sweetheart. You're all done. How you doing?" And at that moment, I look at her and I go, I'm going to be sick.
Oh, no.
And I get, because this is the way my body reacts to anesthesia.
A lot of people do.
And yeah. I feel like I am going to get as sick. It is the worst nausea I've ever experienced in my life.
Did
I'm sitting there going.
Did they make you fast before the procedure?
Yeah, you have to do the whole fasting
thing. And they gave
thing.
You the anti-nausea medicine.
And maybe, you know, maybe I should not have had a steak and cheese before I went to the center. But no, but I'm going.
But only one.
But I'm, you know, I'm conscious enough where I'm saying to myself, I'm going to be sick.
Right.
And they wheel me out, and all I know is that I'm watching 70-year-old people come out that are talking and saying,
right.
Well, that was better than I expected. Everything was fine. Okay, that's great. Well, we're going to send your wife in, Mr. Goldberg. Everything's going to be okay. And
right,
I'm
Mr.
in a
Goldberg.
Corner just still going, going to be sick. And Mr. O'Mara, would you like to chew on some ice? Carla comes back to see me, and apparently she told me that everybody else, there were like three or four people in post-op, and I'm over in the corner looking like she thought maybe I was paralyzed.
There's been a problem.
I'm all drugged up, just going.
Right. Well, you were the last one, and therefore the last one to come out of the anesthesia.
But the procedure was completed. I was done.
You can walk.
And then that night, 45 minutes, I walked, and I walked pain free, and then had a little flare about a week ago.
Okay.
And they gave me some meds for that, and I'm slowly but surely, hopefully, gonna be on the road to recovery.
When you have a flare, but you're 1,000 miles away, what do? Just call down, and they send up the pills.
They call down to the surgeon. They consult with him. You go there. He gave me the drugs, which worked for me, and I'm hoping. People are gonna call me now and say, that's just a stopgap. That's a stopgap,
well,
Mike. You're gonna be in pain for the rest of your life.
It allows you to heal, hopefully.
This guy ought to really cheer me up here, and we got to take a break. We've got Rob Cantrell from Last Comic Standing who's coming in, but let's just take this one call. Paul from Clifton. It says here you have 18 years of back pain.
That's me.
You've been on hold a very long time. What did you want to tell me?
Yeah, I want to let you know I've been through everything. I got a program. It's non-surgical right now. It's called individual disc decompression. Basically, what I do is I go lay on the stretcher, and it pulls me apart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like a Frankenstein table.
Like the rack.
And are you free of pain?
You know what? I take about 60 milligrams of morphine in the morning and about 4 or 5 Percocet in a day.
That's what I take.
That sound you heard.
Right now, I'm drinking some juice I got at 7-Eleven.
Okay. That sound you heard was Joe Artinger dropping the phone when he heard the morphine.
He's doing a reverse lookup. He'll be over in about 20 minutes.
Bring it by the station. Michael in Monterey, one more call on this, and then we'll get out of here so Rob Cantrell can come into the studio. You've got a short cure for back pain. What's
your cure? Not a short cure. 15 years ago, I'm a golfer like you. I am robust like you. Almost the same dimensions. I got to tell you, I got myself an inversion rack where you lock your ankles in.
Right.
And I swear to you on a stack of holy papal Bibles, it worked, man.
That's good if it's a Pope in town.
But it worked for me, and you should get one. And if you can stand hanging upside down for a bit, you'll start at about a half a minute, then a minute, and get up to about 15, and you'll be all good and not have to worry about those doctors cutting you
up. Okay. All right. Well, I'll give that a try, Michael. Thank you very much for the call.
He bought an inversion rack and a box of ice cream sandwiches.
You know, everybody, one thing you know about back pain, everybody's got an idea. Everybody's got cures. And really, when you're the question asked of me, has this affected your quality of life? That's why I decided to get cut on.
Right.
And, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed, and I'll certainly let all of you know.
Yes, please.
If I'm on the road to recovery, I'm looking to, hit the golf course, hopefully, by mid-May, and then be playing on a regular
basis.
Think
about that inversion table, though.
Really?
Yeah, if it takes the pressure off the spine, if you're careful, I don't see how it could do any harm.
I'd rather having it here.
I'd rather hang in your Taiwan basket, Buzz.
You think that would help?
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
You'll thank me later.
God forbid something happens, Mike. This new chair you bought has wheels.
Hey, Buzz, you've got a cure for everything, don't you?
Yeah, well, I try, yes.
Well, we're bringing a guy in here, Rob Cantrell. who I think shares your love of Cures, if you know what I mean.
I think I do.
He's got some stories about your favorite Cure.
I can't wait to hear them.
He'll be celebrating that that wonderful April day.
On Sunday.
April 20th.
420, yeah. Sure.
And we'll chat with Rob Cantrell and lots more fun. I'll also tell you about a game we're going to be playing tomorrow on the show that Rob came up with that will surely send him to hell. We'll be back with Rob Cantrell on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.